study through the Handbook for Christian Living is the title, overall title of this book, this great book. And we saw last week we'll be looking at 1 Peter 2:13-17. The title will be Submissive Living. If you remember, last week we talked about Christian living. Well, Christian living is submissive living. And we'll flesh that out over three parts as Peter will show us this idea of submissive living. And let's take our Bibles, if we would, in our hand or on our phone, and let's open it to 1 Peter 2:13. And let's look at these verses. Let's stand and reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. We stand and we reverence God's Word. And here's what the Word of God says. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment, it says, of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We pray, dear God, that your word will go forth, touch our hearts where it needs to be touched today for your glory. And all God's people said, you may be seated. So we're thinking about, as citizens of heaven, we talked about this, as Christians, we are wholly under the divine authority of God our King and Jesus Christ. We're under that authority, but if we're not careful as citizens of heaven, it has the potential to make us, listen, that truth, to make us indifferent or to have a disdain towards the world in which God has called us to. We are never this idea of being against the world or against those outside in the world. As we said in Sunday school today in Philippians, our enemy, you'll hear me say time and time again, is not flesh and blood. Can anybody hear that? It's not flesh and blood. It's not other people. Our enemy is Satan and the powers, principalities and rulers in high places. And so when we feel like that person is our enemy, remember it's not. Our enemy is Satan. And so that person can become your brother or sister in Jesus' name. Is that not an awesome thought? We're more than conquerors when we can make the people that are against us our friends and our family in the gospel. Is that not an awesome thing to think about? So we see this balance, but how do we balance this idea? We're citizens of heaven, but we're also citizens of the United States of America. And so we have an allegiance to this. We will pledge allegiance to the flag when our supreme allegiance should be God and Jesus Christ. But we also have this understanding in Christian living that we are to be good citizens of both. Can I hear amen? We are to be good citizens of both. And so Peter has already shown us that we are a tremendous act of God's grace. Can anybody say amen? It's only by the grace of God that we are able to come here this morning to worship in Jesus' name, to call out and to sing God's praises. That seeing God is good is only because of His grace. And so because of that grace, He's called us out of darkness. You remember our scriptures before, into what? Into His marvelous light. And then last week we saw what I call the hymns verses. If He's called you and He set you aside, He's made you a priesthood, He's made you this household of faith, spiritual household, then this is what it looks like when we live it out. And that's where our hymns verses were last week. We are called, what was it that He said? Hey, He said, abstain from fleshly lusts. Look, you're to act and to look different from the world. Having this conduct that even the people that don't believe can see there's something different in us. Something different. And so we see that as these sojourners and pilgrims, we're to live out our good deed before the world. Yeah, remember I said we're passing through, but with a purpose. With a purpose. And that's reaching our community's unbelieving world. And they see something distinctive in us. Can the world see something distinctive? If people came in from the outside right now that are not a part of the church, would they see something distinctive in us? Oh, yes, we're meeting and maybe something different. But would they see within you the love of Christ? Would they see within you a difference that Christ has made? Does Christ ooze out of you? You ever had people that Christ just oozed out of them? People of light. I like to call them people of light. Have you ever walked in and go maybe to visit somebody? I've done this several times. Go visit, be a blessing to somebody. Maybe it's bedridden. And when I got in there in their presence, I experienced the Lord Jesus Christ because they had so much light radiating from them. And you know what? I left there more blessed than the blessing that I was supposed to be bringing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's that distinctiveness of living in Christ. And sometimes it seems like it's those people that have been pressed the hardest that it seems like the light just oozes out of them. And that's what Peter's talking about, this idea that he's challenging us, that how are we supposed to display this Christian living? Because we are distinctive, there's going to be some things. And one of it is, and we're not going to like this, the first thing, and he says, therefore, submit. A life of submission, a submissive living under the Lord. And the first thing he tells us to submit to is what? Civil authority. Civil authority. Now, we get our nanners up. Wait a minute now. We're citizens of heaven, so this don't apply to us. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen all kinds of theologians do hermeneutical jumping jacks with these scriptures, by the way. You say, well, what hermeneutics is when we take the exegesis of God and we apply it, the context of which it was written, but also that it applies to the context of what we live. That's what hermeneutics is. And listen, you can do all the jumping jacks you want. This scripture says that we are to submit. A life of submission. Listen, submission to civil authorities. Look at verses 13 and 17 again. It says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so we see this word submit, which is in the Greek, it's hupotasso. It's two words, hupo, which means under, and tasso means place, to place under. We come under the subjection, or we come under this submissiveness to what? What does it say? To the government. We all want to take shots, and we all want to put our politics. And that's one thing, I don't use this pulpit as a place for politics, but I'm going to tell you something, that the Word of God says that we are to be in submissive, and be in their submission to our what? Government. That's what it says. And so I want us to think about that, or to come under. And we don't like this. Why? Well, the Christian life is a life of submission, and sometimes that doesn't cut for us. It doesn't cut it because our culture says, you don't submit, you're the survival of the fittest, it's the law of the jungle. You go for it. You do all these things. We hear it time and time again, and yet we come to the Scripture of God, and it says, submit, be submissive. I want us to think about submitting to government this morning, and we think, man, we're just supposed to submit only to God, and our liberal democracy is found upon opposition, is it not? And yet we see within God's Word, it says for us to be submissive to our civil authorities. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I know that we have an account and a context for that day, and you say, well, in Peter's day, they didn't have a choice. It wasn't a democracy. Oh, and all yada, 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 you can keep on. But listen, I want you to understand something, that this applies to us today just as well as it did to Peter in his day. And here's the people that he was writing to, that we'll really flesh that out in just a little bit. And people will say, well, this was Peter's way of protecting the church. It was because of a hostile government and all these things. They were against Christians, so he's protecting the church, but that's not what he's saying. He's saying to please God, not to protect the church, but it pleases God, is what the Scripture says. Many will say that submission undercuts equality, and we'll see that as we get into other parts of this, parts one, two, and three. Of this, that it undercuts equality. Is it possible to submit and be equal? Is it? Well, let me give you a good example. His name's Christ, Jesus. It's not Philippians 2 not say that he was equal with God, but he didn't consider his equality to be something to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of what? A bondservant, and coming in what? The likeness of men. Can you have submission and be equal? You better believe it. Lord Jesus is one of your greatest examples of it. And he's called us to live in his example. Wow. What a thought. And so I want us to think about this. The Trinity itself is functional only because of submission. Okay? And God's calling us to submissive living, and he's calling us as a submissive, to have submission to our civil authorities. And first I want to see some subheadings under this one heading, main heading, and it's motive. Verse 13, what is our motive for this submission to civil authority? Verse 13 says, therefore submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. God has commanded us to submit, not just a general submission, but every ordinance, that institution of man. Now, we know in Peter's day, that hey, you mean they can't, they couldn't speak out against the government. Hey, listen, that goes contrary. We see in the scriptures that he spoke out time and time again when it didn't line up with God's word. When things don't line up, I'm not saying just following cookie cutter. I'm saying this is our authority, God's word, and when things don't line up, there's times that we stand and we make a stand, but always with respect. Always with respect. And Peter would lose his life. We know that tradition says he would be crucified upside down by this government. Paul would be beheaded by this same government. And yet he's saying, be in submission to your civil authorities. He's saying, he's commanded us. If the government commands us to do something against God, his commands to do or not to do, then we stand against it. All else we submit. Why do we submit? What is our motive? Look what the word says, for the Lord's sake, as unto the Lord or unto Christ. That's why we do it. We are to be good citizens. Peter's calling for us to be good citizens, and we'll see why. Our motive is for the Lord's sake. God commands it. So it's not like we have a choice, does it? If he's our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus, we commit or we submit to this. So we see that. That is our motive. But look at the extent of it in verses 13 and 14. Whether to the king as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. The extent is what? Every institution of the man. It says the king, the governor, mayor, law enforcement, every ordinance. So we are supposed to, we should be law-abiding citizens. Can everybody say amen? We are to be law-abiding citizens, every extent. Why? Look what it says. For the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Why is he saying it? It's for the order of our society. Guys, do you know what it would be like if we didn't have law enforcement? If we didn't have laws, what would it be like in our land? What? It'd be old Wild West, wouldn't it? You'd have to wear your six-shooter, right? You'd have to wear your it would be this vigilante type living. God does it for a purpose. Listen, at the very beginning, God sets up society and he makes man and woman and he brings marriage and he sets that up. And we don't have any problem with that. Most of us say, yes, praise God. God sets that up, but he also sets the state up. It's God has ordained it for a purpose and a plan, and that is to keep order for us as people upon this earth. He sets it up, and he's looked for those who are sent by him. But it's like he ordains it. As you say, wait a minute, God, wait a minute, Peter, you mean God ordained the Roman government and Nero and all these things? Yes, is what the scripture is saying. God set it up. God had a purpose. God had a plan. And boy, when we look facing persecution like these believers were, when we were facing maybe the loss of life, we're saying, well, no, we can raise up. God's saying, no, this is the way I ordain it. And you know what? You're looking at the here and now, and you're not looking at the eternal. And it's all working out, the scripture says, to his glory. Even the bad and the evil and all those things are going to work out for his glory one day. That same Philippians, every knee shall bow, and every tongue is going to confess the Lord Jesus to the God, glory of God the Father. And so we see that. This is Nero was the emperor at that time. And so he's saying, don't disrespect your authorities. That's the extent that he tells us. So we have the motive for God's sake. And the extent is that we are to obey that which God has ordained and set up. And look at the reason. Verses 15 and 16. For this is the will of God. Is that not what it says? For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but bondservants of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to the irony of that again, the irony of these words of Scripture. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice, but bondservants of God. And we'll think about this. We always want to know the will of God, do we not? What's the will of God for my life? We can see certain times in Scripture it says, this is the will of God, that you're what? That you're obedient. You're submissive to governing authorities. So it's the will of God that we do these things. Obeyance over authority is the will of God. And remember who Peter's writing to. These are people that are being persecuted. These are people that don't want to hear this, right? They don't want to hear this, that I'm supposed to obey this government that's so much against them. You know, we'll say this. Well, things weren't quite as bad as they are now. Oh, it wasn't quite as bad. Listen, these people were dying. Nero was dipping them in tar and lighting his arena with Christians. I don't hear that going on right now. I know there's a lot of persecution going on. But we'll see and we'll rationalize. Say, well, things are not as bad as they are right now. And we see yet all through this a total persecution of the church. Was anybody, did you feel threatened when you came here today? Did you feel like maybe I'm putting my life on the line? In fact, many of you made a rational or volitional decision today. Well, I think I'll go to church today. No fear of church would be here when you got here. No thought of that whatsoever. Or no fear that somebody would come in and lob a grenade or something and your life was put on the line. These citizens, these children of God were putting their life on the line just to meet, to get together. It cost them something to be a Christian. What's it costing us? What? A little bit of our time? When God's given us all, every time, every second, every minute of the day, oh, it's costing us something. What's it costing us? Nothing compared to this day. And he said, hey, as we are to obey these things, the reason is that we put to ignorance. He wants us to have a great testimony before the world. The testimony of Christ. Obeying civil authority is the will of God. Peter says it's the Lord's will for you to obey your leader. There are ways that we can appeal when it goes against God's word. There are ways that we can march, we can write letters, we can speak out, but always speaking out for the innocent, we do it with respect. We do it with respect. Why do we do that? Because we have trouble. Our emotions get involved, don't we? We get our dander up, is what we like to say. And we want to be angry and fight it out and say, it's worth fighting for it, and it is. But listen, never at the cost of disrespect. Because we represent Jesus Christ. And if anybody, listen, if anybody could have disrespected, it could have been him. He was perfect in every way. It says we have these freedoms. This is the irony of these verses. It says that as free, and this is where it's difficult because it's hard when we have these freedoms. We're in Christ. We have these freedoms, and we're called to be different. If we're not, it says we're called out of darkness, but not using liberty as a cloak for vice. It's never right to bomb abortion clinics. Do you understand that? It's never right to do these things. And so it's because we say we have this freedom and we represent Christ and we have this right to do these things. And he's saying you can't use your freedom in Christ as a vice that you can act contrary to how Christ says to act. Does everybody understand that this morning? As a vice, these Christian freedoms that we have. Oh, let me just get up on my soapbox for just a minute. Oh, I have freedom in Christ to drink anytime I want to. You might have that freedom, but when you post it like a big old, look at me, you're not respecting your brother whatsoever. How foolish for people to do that if you have freedom to use your freedom as a vice to do something that's sinful to somebody else. That's not freedom. That's not freedom. You know what that is? That's your opinion. That's your, you're just doing it because you feel like that's the right thing to do. How foolish to post stuff like that and to be called under the name of Christ when you have many brothers and sisters that don't have that freedom. Don't use your freedom as a vice. Don't be able to say, hey, I can go out here and do anything I want to, not caring about anybody else. That's not biblical. You know what that is? That sounds like American individualism more than it does scriptural living, does it not? Peter says, don't use it as a vice. You feel like you have the reason to do whatever. You could kill, go against the Roman government and kill all these. In fact, there are many in Jesus' day that called the zealots that did that. One of his own disciples was a zealot that thought it was okay to go out here and kill and murder the Romans because they were against the people of God. Jesus, what did he do? He spoke against that. We silence the critics by what? When we live life unto Christ. We live unto Christ. But freedom to be servants of the Most High God. That's, listen, you know what he says? He said, but we have, you're free men, but look, he says, but as bond servants, look, that by doing so, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then he says, you have this free man, but you're as bond servants of Christ. So I'm free, but I'm a bond servant. You see, anybody see the irony of that? The freedom to live in servitude to Christ. That's where freedom truly is lived out. Bond servant is a doulos. It's a slave of the lowest order. He's saying, hey, be this servant. Let me read that. For it is the will of God that you, by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but bondservants of God. He's saying, listen, you're free, but you're under the servanthood of Jesus Christ. You're under the servanthood of the Lord. And that comes with a standard. And that is to live free within the parameters of what God has ordained. And what God said is right. And what God says is wrong. You want to live a free life? You want to live an abundant life? Live within those parameters, my friend. Not a freedom to do what you think is right, but a freedom to live within the parameters of God's Word in true freedom. We're never truly free. He makes this statement as a doulos, this slave. Freedom in Christ and the citizenship in the kingdom of God is in no way permits us to abuse or disregard the standards of conduct God has established for men upon this earth. No way. So we see the motive, we see the extent, we see the reason, but lastly, look at the application, verse 17. Look at the application. What does it say? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. The way we apply this is we show respect to everyone. We show respect to everyone. Peter summarizes this in the name for submission to all authority by four practical dimensions of life. Look at the first one. Honor all people. Why? Every person is created in God's image. Did you hear me? Every person is created in God's image. No lesser, nobody greater, no class. Christians are not to be discriminate because of race, nationality, or economic status. And listen, this is not a mindless tolerance for every conduct. Everything that don't line up with God's Word. That's not what I'm saying. But it also doesn't give us a reason for disrespecting anyone. How are we going to win people that we disrespect? Let me ask you that. But in the love of Christ, we reach out in Jesus' name with the love of Christ. Standing on the truth in love. Now that's where it's difficult. Standing on the truth in God's love. We don't waver on the truth none whatsoever. But we share it in love. Because why? It's based on something greater than emotion or what somebody thinks or somebody's agenda or somebody's opinion. It's based upon the truth of God's Word. We honor all. And then the next one, look, love the brotherhood. We are to show the world that we love our fellow believers. This is how the world knows that we love Christ. Is that not what the Scripture says? That we have love one for another. Do you love each other? When's the last time that you showed somebody that you loved them within your church family? I ought to make every one of you get up and hug each other's neck right now. If we had the time, we would. We should. Listen. And that's the people that, I just don't like them that good. I ain't calling for you to like them. I'm calling for you to love them in Jesus' name. All right? And we should, because this, how in the world are we ever going to reach a world? We say that we love the world, for God so loved the world that He gave. How are we going to reach the lost world if we can't get along with each other? It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. But next he says, fear God. Fear God. That's the beginning of all wisdom, by the way. All knowledge and wisdom comes from the fear of God. Do you fear God? Have you made Him into something that He's not? He is God. Yes, listen, and He's your Savior. And He's a friend that sticks closer to a brother. But if He's just your good buddy or your friend, you're missing out on something, okay? He's God. And He created it all. We sang at the beginning there before it started. God is so good. He's so good to me. He's so good. And this is to fear Him. This includes, listen to this, this includes trusting Him in all circumstances, no matter how difficult. Why? How can I do that? He orchestrates everything. If we can get a hold of that, we can face whatever comes tomorrow. No matter what our circumstances, we reverence Him because He is in control. My friend, that'll get you through anything. The sovereignty of God and His providence and knowing that He's a just God will get you through anything if we grasp a hold of those truths. He's sovereign. Fearing Him encourages us to submit to all our earthly authorities as well. Why? Because God told us to. He commands. That's why we do it, because He commanded it. Because lastly, He says what? Honor the king. Man, you realize we come full circle, didn't we? Come full circle. Bringing this issue to full circle. Why? Back to the basic command of verse 13. When believers obey the principles of this passage, it gives genuine credibility to their faith. It allows us to be what Jesus called us to be in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember Matthew chapter 5? He said, you are the light of the world. A city set up on a hill, it can't, it's got to be seen. So the only way is when you put that under a bushel, you hide it. I always sing that little song. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Those little kiddie songs that we think are so cute, but my goodness, what application to our own life. God, He allows us to be the light of the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Let me ask you this. How much light are you shining out in your world? How much? Can they see that light of Christ in you as we talked about? When they come into your presence, does it ooze out of you? Wouldn't it be so great if God's light shined through you? You'd be like, ooh, let me get some sunglasses. It's not our light, by the way. It's His light. It's His light. And it's the most difficult thing that you will do in this dark world is to shine that light. And one way that we shine it is we're submissive to our civil authorities. Then to come and play. Applications and we'll be done. Number one, how do you respond to government authority? Are you one of those that's always bashing? Always fussing. Always watching the garbage. Man, can't even watch the news anymore. You don't even know what to believe and what not to believe. It used to be a day you could watch the news and believe it. Now you don't know what the agenda is. Or how do you respond to your government authorities? Number two, do you honor all people? Is there any prejudice in your life whatsoever to people, or a group of people, or even someone that's hurt you? They hurt me. You just don't know. Christ does. They hurt Him. He loved them this much. Lastly, let's stand on our feet. What's your testimony like to a lost world? What's it like? Do people see you? Or do they see Christ in you? The hope of glory. Let's all bow our eyes before the Lord just for a minute. Here, you and God. Don't even think about anybody else. Is your relationship with Christ where it should be? Do you know that you have a relationship with the eternal God through the living Savior? Have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever come to that point that you asked Him to forgive you of your sins and turn to Him in repentance? And He came in and made a difference in your life. He changed you, is what the Word said. You became a new creation. If there wasn't that time, how in the world, what are you resting upon? Coming to church, walking an aisle, even saying a prayer doesn't make you saved. Only the Holy Spirit of God coming into your life makes you saved. Anybody here that needs that today, come to the altar. Come then, let me show you through God's Word how to receive Him. How about your testimony to the world? Are you so caught up in the here and now that you're missing the eternal? When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus or even invited them to come to church? Because if we love one another, we experience this love, and that love means so much, you're going to invite others to come. What's God saying to you? The altar's open. Won't tarry long. What is God saying to you? People are praying. How about you? You need to come just for a few minutes under the Lord. You need to do something that's worth eternity, worth changing the way that you're living, worth giving to the Lord everything that you are, everything that's already His. What's He saying? Sing His chorus. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more. Oh for grace to trust Him more. I pray that's your prayer this week. Listen, I love you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be having our singing. South Fork Singers here will be singing praises unto the Lord. Come and support them and sing praises and worship. Listen, our kids back to school tomorrow, teachers, pray for them. Pray for our children as they're in this world. Boy, they need your prayers. And then pray for our church as we grow and go forward. And love to see young people get baptized and come to know the Lord, but I also want to see them discipled. Grow, and we can't expect them to do it if we're not doing it ourselves. Something for us to think about. Lee closes out.